It's Wednesday, September 23rd, and you're tuned in to the Chenevy Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world. Summer's over. The fall has arrived.
Are you sure? Because it's almost 30 degrees outside today.
It wasn't that hot.
It was like 27.
It wasn't that hot.
It was like 27,
28. Like, it was warm, but I don't know if it was hot.
I had to take off my long sleeve.
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't that hot.
It's pretty, yeah, it's
like, hot. I was outside today, and I was like, yeah, okay. It's warm.
But you can handle the heat. I cannot.
That's your fault.
It's how I was born.
Yeah, but to be fair, you're wearing thick flannel. Like, I don't know what.
I had to take it off.
Like, I don't know what you're doing. You're wearing a shirt and thick flannel.
I had to take it
and
off.
And pants.
Listen. The shorts have been packed away.
Oh.
I'm not taking them out again.
Wow. I didn't realize you had so many clothes. You had to pack them away.
I packed all three of my shorts away. All right? The black ones, the blue ones, and the red ones.
Wow.
I put them in the drawer, and I'm not taking them out.
That's not packing them away.
It is, because I have like a hook in my room where I hang all my pants. And those are like the rotation pants or the rotation bottoms, let's say.
You don't just have a closet where you put your clothes in?
No, the closet is for fancy clothes I don't wear.
What?
Yeah, like suit, like dress shirts and stuff. And I put everything else in the drawer, in the dresser.
What?
Yeah.
So then your shorts are in the dresser.
But my shorts are in the bottom drawer of the dresser.
So that's not packed away.
So it's packed away.
You're making it sound like you put them in boxes and you shoved them in the attic.
I put them in the bottom drawer of the dresser, which I do not open. Unless it's the changing of the season.
Whatever. Whatever. That's some bullshit is what that is. Yeah, fall's here. Great. Cool. The world continues to struggle and move on.
That's so sad. Why you gotta do it like that?
What are you talking about?
We went back until, like, was it stage two or whatever?
Yeah, it's great. We're all doing great.
My school sent me an email like the day after the podcast saying that the January semester is also going to be online.
Nice.
So I don't have to drive anywhere the whole year.
Wow, I can't believe we're going to be in this whole thing for a year.
I'm gonna go out on the limb.
Why you gotta curse us like this?
It might be two, homie. It might be five. Like,
it might be forever.
It might be the new normal.
That's wild. That's so wild. I hope not, but
I hope not as well.
Yeah, I really hope not. But I'm sure, yeah. It can't go on forever, but whatever.
I think eventually people will just say fuck it. And, like, I'm sorry, but grandma's gotta go.
Like, I mean, have you seen America?
Yeah. Like, what if that's the thing? What if right now we're like, America, you're fucking dumb, and yeah, we're banking on a cure that's not gonna come?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, America ran through all that shit, because they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, man, the weak are gone. Now we can do whatever we want.
I mean, I don't know.
Like, I know New Zealand got rid of it, but...
Yeah, still. I mean, New Zealand did get rid of it, but they suffered economically.
Yeah.
So, I guess that's the risk you gotta take.
America did too, but... They suffered economically and didn't give a fuck.
America's just... Whatever, man. America's a joke at this point. Who cares?
Who's our new global overlord?
China.
Oh, shit.
It's gotta be China.
Where's America? We need you back.
We'll see what happens to America in like a month, right?
Maybe.
We'll see.
November,
We'll see what happens with that shit show.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, our American bros.
Our border's closed.
Yeah.
You're our Mexico.
Yeah. Get fucked. Anyway, speaking of Americans, Paul Chew writes in with a question to chew on.
What a segue.
He's American, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He must be. You know what? No, he is, because I see his question now. What is Black Friday?
That's racist.
Parentheses or Boxing Day, etc., going to be like this year? Retailers have come to rely on it each year. How will they handle it in a post-COVID world? Online sales are fine, but people still buy more during the in-person frenzy. There are families who usually go Black Friday shopping together. Will they still go shopping? Will people respect social distancing guidelines? What are your predictions?
My predictions is that they are going to attempt to follow COVID rules. But there will be incidents of, oh, we accidentally let 1,000 people into our Best Buy to buy TVs.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Part of me is just like, I don't think corporations like would sacrifice that amount of like profit. Like, you can make up a whole year's worth of like a weak year and go into the black on a Boxing Day, on a Black Friday. Mm. And it's like, after this year, do you really think that they're going to like, totally. We'll totally follow these COVID rules. Just let more people in.
Mm.
Right. And they can hide it behind like, oh, these were individual stores acting rogue agents in our corporation. We had no control, but that's like my conspiracy theory one, but probably what's going to happen is that they're going to push online super heavy.
Mm.
Is that they're just going to be like, hey, we've made sure that we have stock of all the stuff. You'll get it. Like, maybe they'll add in like free next day delivery or something on purchases over X amount of dollars.
Mm.
But I do think that the companies that are most affected by a Boxing Day, like more of a superfluous purchase kind of deal, they're going to be focusing on online.
I think in America,
guns blazing, baby,
pretty much.
That's what Second Amendment.
That's what I think. I think whatever, they're just gonna do it anyway. It doesn't matter.
They're just gonna go for it.
Yeah, I think, but that's the only place where it really matters.
Yeah,
right. Like,
even here, Black Friday or Boxing Day in Canada, we still wait in lines. Like, I've never been in one where people have rushed in or they're taking things from people's hands or stuff like that.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the whole, I think the question is surrounding crowds and whatnot. Like, not so much the violent aspect of it. And if that's...
That's the fun aspect of it.
I mean, you do what you want. I think what I was going to say is that... it takes two to tango, right? Like, these things can't happen unless these companies put these things on sale. And I just don't think that they're going to do it. I just don't think they're going to have in-person sales as crazy as years gone by due to just government restrictions. Government restrictions and negative marketing impact.
Do you
want to be that company who's like, listen, we're going to push sales in the face of COVID? Like, I don't, and then that just gives a bad PR image, right? Like, yeah. I just don't know it. Like, I don't see, like, again, outside of America, I think that's how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Within America, who fucking knows?
Yeah, when I think about the American marketplace, it's like, even that whole thing of like bad PR is, oh, like,
let me guess, there's no such thing as bad PR.
Oh, it's the Madonna. All PR is, yeah. Any coverage is good coverage, right? And like, I haven't seen a corporation get penalized for something in that country in forever.
I mean, PR-wise, yeah, you're probably right. Right? But I do think there are government...
Like, that's the thing. Like, if the government comes in and they're like, hey, you fucks.
Yeah. But again, this is based on their government. Like, we currently have fines in place right now here.
Yeah.
Right? But I don't know if any such fines like that are in place in America.
True.
Right?
And we're not Americans, so.
Yeah. So, like, but, like, if they're saying, like, I'm sure they're looking at it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to have some sort of announcement. But if they say, listen, if you do this, you will be fined X amount of dollars per how much you over exceed, then I'm sure then they won't do it. I'm sure they'll just push online harder. The only problem now is holiday season without COVID is already tough on e-commerce and delivery schemes. And like, I think if what this year has proved is that as much as we like to tout the convenience of online, like things like Amazon, I don't think there's any country whose actual e-commerce has been built strong enough to sustain like that as the norm.
The post office has not been built to have every sort of commerce run through it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the problem.
And especially with, again, we go back to the US as an example, them fucking axing USPS stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be deadly.
Yeah, for sure.
I know one thing's for certain. It's going to be a shit show.
Oh, it always is.
But, yeah, probably if there are online sales, I could imagine either maybe... Well, I think like a good idea would maybe take the the Japanese approach to like concert tickets, which is like a lottery system.
Oh, that's the worst. You are the worst.
I know I'm the worst, but like,
really? You want a raffle?
You can just raffle off spots in line. And you could just be like,
raffle is the like the worst thing ever invented for that stuff.
It's a sneaker drop, son. Well,
it's like, oh, you've won the opportunity to buy something. Yeah. Like, fuck off.
Yeah. It's that sneaker drop lifestyle. But they could do that for like access to the store within X amount of hours. Like, oh, we know that we can probably push through X amount of people in an hour in our store. So I'll raffle off our blocks for people to buy shit. And then we'll let people in as that goes. But other than that, I don't really know. Yeah. I don't really know what you would do. It's going to require some creative thinking because you cannot go back to hundreds of people waiting in line, so like outside the block, like going around the stores, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to be 6 feet apart unless they have some sort of like parking lot designated line, which then cuts out on parking. So who knows? Who knows? Yeah. I'm just not, you know, I'm just not going to take part in it. I'm just going to.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just do the online thing anyway. So it doesn't even matter.
Oh, but even that, all the Xbox One pre-orders going up and everyone on Twitter just being like, where's my Xbox, man?
I don't know. I got mine. No problem.
Oh, did you order one?
Yeah.
Okay.
To be fair, like I didn't go at release time.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a meeting and then like 3 hours later, I'm like, when's this thing releasing again? Oh, it's out.
Oh, now? Oh, it's open?
So then I went and I was like, oh. S or X?
X.
X.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's $5.99.
Damn,
son. Canadian. But I mean, like, no deposit down, so, like, I just put my name in just.
No, but the fact that you were able to get it so easily is kind of nuts. Like, I don't know if it was different here in Canada, but.
Yeah, you know.
My Twitter sphere was just blown up.
Yeah, like, I saw that, but. To be fair, like. That's how every big hot product releases. Like, I don't think there's ever been one where it's like,
no, Vince, this year's smooth. Different.
What are you talking about? This
year's different.
And now, especially since we can't go into stores to do this shit.
This year's different.
I don't know. But like I'm saying, yeah, it was pretty easy. Just show up. Like, I think the orders were open all day on Best Buy.
Like, oh, wow.
It was just, if you wanted the one you wanted, you just got it.
That's cool.
Well, we'll see.
That's it.
Thanks for reporting in, Paul.
I think if I had a solution to this, or a really good answer to Paul's problem, I'd be working at some company, like, implementing the solution.
I think, like, every company now, right now, is trying to figure out that solution. That's half my job right now. Or, not my specific role, but, like...
But, like, your team?
That's half my team's role. Like,
how do we handle...
Exactly. We run, like, I work for a company who runs malls, so... Trying to figure out everything surrounding that has been fun to hear. A lot of bullshit. Anyways, let's move on to our picks of the week. I think we had some stuff.
Nintendo
happened this week.
They were like, hey, I know you guys just had a podcast last week.
No, also... they said, we know you guys have been talking about that Xbox. Then you've been talking about that PlayStation.
So now we gotta bring out the Nintendo stuff.
Baby. Yeah. It's not even a Switch.
Yeah, they had a partner direct.
Mm.
So no Nintendo first party games, but all the stuff their bros have been doing.
To be fair, the non-Nintendo first party games on the Switch are the best Nintendo games on the Switch.
Are they?
Apart from Zelda, I don't know.
Mario Odyssey.
No. I say that as
Zelda and Mario Odyssey are 1 and 2.
I think Zelda's the best game on that system.
Yeah.
And then everything else is whatever.
No, Mario's 2.
Listen, Mario is whatever. I say it as I've never playing it.
But... How dare you? How dare you? I'm going to only cherry pick a couple that I want to talk about.
Okay,
if you have some
boy.
More.
Cherry Boy Hunter.
The first one is a small one, is Rune Factory 5. I only bring this up because I always think that the Rune Factory series is really overlooked. And I honestly don't know how they're on 5 already. But Rune Factory is that game where you play Animal Crossing and you're like, man, I wish I had combat. And then it's that. That's that.
Yeah.
You have a farm. You go out, do RPG combat stuff. If you really loved Stardew Valley... right? And you love anime aesthetics, like Rune Factory is something you should definitely check out. And they're bringing out a new Rune Factory, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The other one is Monster Hunter Stories 2. I'm very surprised this is getting a sequel because I didn't know that this game did well enough for a sequel.
I know it rated really well.
But I didn't know, I don't know anyone who's played it, anyone who's bought it. Like, unless it was the Japan market that just ran it, so.
I think it's the name.
Yeah, it could be.
Because, you know, Monster Hunter is Capcom's biggest game now.
Yeah.
Like, it's got a cash. It's kind of like how when Persona had all those spinoffs. With, like, Arena, Q's.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Not in the fuck?
Yeah. I think that's what this is. And, like, I bet even if this game only does, like, half of their projected, it still does better than something that's, say, than, like, say, Rune Factory.
True. So you're true, but probably Rune Factory also has, like, half the budget.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you compare the two games, it's like, there's definitely a money thing happening here.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Apparently, Rathalos is,
sick.
They're sick and they're dying out of their habitat or some shit. I don't know. It's wild. This kind of seems like pre-apocalypse Monster Hunter. Like, there's always that hidden lore in Monster Hunter games where it's like, the people before the Fatalis, they lived here in harmony and blah, blah, blah.
This can't be, though. Because, like, I thought the whole, I think, before the Fatalis was, like, it was an advanced civilization.
Was it? Yeah. I always thought it was just, like, a prehistoric civilization.
No, it was an advanced.
Oh, get rad.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just after Fatalis?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know. Maybe. I can't believe it, like, for a game where we don't know much of the story, or how much we play.
Yeah.
We don't know anything
of the lore. Because there's no story.
Well, there's a story in every game.
Yeah, there's a story of, hey man, there's a new hot dragon that's trying to fuck shit up. And it's like, okay, we beat it. Sick dog.
Yeah, like, it's weird how, like, you because in other games where people have, like, hundreds and hundreds of hours, like World of Warcraft, people know the lore there, right?
We have literal thousands of hours
in
Monster Hunter across the franchise.
Yeah, like, per person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, when I think about how many, like, I've put in so many hours into Overwatch, and I know the lore, right? Then that game has no story. But, like, Monster Hunter has semblance of a story, but I couldn't tell you shit about the lore.
We're talking about one time, there was this guy, his name's Leggy Akris, and he's like, yo, dog, what if you fought me underwater?
No!
No!
My ultimate weakness! Yeah, I mean, that could, like, that's basically Monster Hunter Try.
Yeah, and then it was like the volcano monster where you had to fight him half underwater, half above water.
Yeah, I don't know,
man. And then they were like, what if a monster was covered in tar?
Stupid.
Right? Like, there's nothing there. Whatever. The gameplay is so fun, it doesn't really fucking matter.
Yeah.
After that is Disgaea 6 Defiance of Destiny. I can't believe there's another fucking Disgaea game, finally.
Was the last one on PS4?
The last one was on PS4. And Disgaea 5 was originally released 5 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
So Disgaea 6, you play as Zed. He is a zombie who is trying to defy his destiny, I assume.
I mean, that's the title of the game, right?
I think, what was the new max level? It was like 999999999999 or some shit.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot of nines. Hold on. I'm going to look at it. It's 999999.
Wow.
So 8 9s.
Wow, that's a lot of nines.
And then the new max damage limit is over 1 quadrillion.
Okay.
So if you guys don't know about Disgaea, like, Disgaea is a strategy RPG where you start from nothing. Like, you're a level 1 character, and, like, big damage for you is like 9 damage. But then as you progress through the game, things get exponentially crazier as you level up weapons, level up your character. Before, in games, the max level was 9,999.
Mm.
And then you would, quote-unquote, reincarnate your character.
Mm.
Where, depending on what level you reincarnated it at, you would get base stat points that you could then pump into your character. And then get to max level again, and then reincarnate again. It doesn't end. The grind literally never ends. You can enter your weapons, do wild shit like that.
Too much.
And it's fun.
It's too much.
It's fun. If you ever wanted to just, like, have a power trip in a SRPG, like, this is the game.
I guess so, yeah, right? Sure.
And it's the only SRPG I've ever been good at. Because eventually you don't need strategy. It's just, how do I one-shot every character before they can touch me? Right? Like, I remember whole maps where I would, give characters movement speed bonuses all the time. And yeah. I would make them throw enemies into a pile in the center of the stage.
Yeah.
And then my strongest guy would just do some attack that covers 10 by 10 squares. And I'd kill everyone on the map in one hit. Right? And it's that kind of game where it's just like, how can you abuse the system? And we're going to give you so many systems that you can abuse, and we want you to abuse them.
Yes.
So it's really fun. Highly recommended. I think 4 and 5 are on the Switch right now.
Okay.
If you want to get like a taste.
Yeah.
But the biggest one, one.
Tell me. Hit me with it.
Monster Hunter.
Excuse me?
Rise.
Excuse me?
Monster Hunter Rise.
What are you talking about?
Was it the mobile team who did this?
The mobile team?
I forget who did this.
You mean the portable team.
Same thing. The portable team, the Monster Hunter proper team, the big boy console Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
They're off doing something next gen. They're busy.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, the portable team
was
like, man, Generations was dope.
Yeah.
What if we made something even cooler?
Yeah.
So they made Monster Hunter Rise. They got a new area. They got new monsters. And they got a fancy new mechanics.
Yeah.
One of them being wall running.
Yeah.
You can just run on the walls.
Yes. like straight up Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden, Shinobi. Like,
what?
Oh, you have a great sword? Don't worry about it. You can run on the walls. And we've made the arenas and the environment in such a way where you have to. But this is all in conjunction with, what was the other thing called? The bug?
The wire bug. Yeah.
And you talk about this because I don't really remember what the specifics were.
So the wire bug is essentially, it's a smaller little animal that you can shoot out, but then you have like a silk string that will connect to you. So you can basically swing off of it like Spider-Man. Only it's the ultimate version of Spider-Man, because where Spider-Man has to attach to something.
Yeah.
You can just attach to this bug, and he will carry your weight.
For like a brief minute.
Yeah, and I think you can carry... The trailer shows you having at least 2 bugs. So basically, you could shoot out into the middle of the air, swing mid-air, to close gaps or like jump huge gaps.
Mm-hmm.
You can mid-air change your directions now. But I think the biggest addition is how it combines with weapon attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And so like one of the craziest one... is they showed you the greatsword user jumps into an attack with the wire bug. He does an aerial, but then he wire bugs backwards.
To dodge it.
And then he does the charge up midair.
Which sends him forward.
Yeah, and now the all charge weapons have like this red glow to you. Mm-hmm. Like an instant glow, so you can tell you're charging.
Yeah.
And then fucking swings down like he's Link. Like, what? What happened?
The longsword one where it does like this sweeping slash.
Yeah.
Like a pendulum slash. Yeah. Stuff like that.
Like he does what's the dodge first?
The spirit dodge or whatever. Yeah. I forget what it's called.
It's like the spirit dodge, but instead of running through it, it's like you're slingshot back with the bug instead.
Yeah. And then you take that momentum and bring it back forward.
Yeah. The craziest one is the sword and shield, where he throws the bug onto his sword.
And he whips the sword around?
Yeah.
Like a whip? Yeah. Yeah,
and you're like, what happened? But it looks like the wire bug is the manifestation of all the styles from Generation into one singular moveset.
Yeah.
Plus the addition of the Monster Hunter World control scheme.
Where you could do like I forgot what that thing was called.
The Clutch Claw?
No, there was a bug that you could attach to. With the Clutch Claw.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot what that thing's called. Me but too. They're just like, what if we took movement stuff to the max? Like,
yeah.
It's almost God Eater levels of movement.
Yeah.
You're not air dashing. Well, you are air dashing, but it's not that wild.
I think it's worth saying, too, like, the visual direction that they took was very Japanese.
Yeah.
And, like, it kind of makes sense that this one looks so anime.
It reminds me of, what was it, Portable Third that never came out here?
Oh, yeah.
The Yukimo Village.
Yeah. Well, I guess this game is technically Portable 5.
Yeah.
Portable 5th.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that, right? Because I think they did say, Monster Hunter World is technically Monster Hunter 5.
Mm-hmm.
Except they stopped going with the numbers so that it's not so daunting for newcomers.
Yeah.
That's why they have, like, World and Rise.
Mm-hmm.
Rise is a weird name, though, but I get it. You got the Clutch Claw, you're going up, you're running up walls. What else did they show off?
New monsters. There's some new, like, it's almost like Ninetales. Like, it's some fox looking thing.
Hmm.
And he's like Darkness Fox.
Yeah, Magdamalo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know that's going to be, that's like, that's Nergigante, right? Like,
yeah.
That's not Zora Magdaros.
Yeah.
It's one of the, it's probably just like the mid boss before the final shit.
Yeah.
But I really want to see how they interact the wire bug with the environments more.
Hmm.
And we're going to get that soon, right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I believe, as of this recording.
Yeah.
Nintendo's doing some stuff. Yeah. Or TGS is doing some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Showing first gameplay stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They also showed off one other thing. Like, for a long time now, we've had our Palicos.
Mm-hmm.
Now we got the Palamute.
Oh, yes, the dog.
The doge.
You can get a doge.
The doge. And you can ride him. He can serve as a secondary attack support.
Yeah, four-player local multiplayer is back.
Yeah.
But it's not on... Like, it's how the 3DS was, where you all hang out, and then you just ad hoc connect to each other. And do that stuff,
which makes sense considering, you know, it's on the portable device. The Switch, yeah. But I'm sure there'll also be an online component. But
what else was there?
I want to talk about the dog thing first, because did you hear that, like, in four player co-op you each can carry the dog with you?
Yeah, so you either pick your Palico or your dog.
Yeah,
yeah, that's one.
And then in single player you have up to two companions.
Yeah, so you can bring both. But that seems like, if they're as useful as they are in world, that seems too easy.
Assuming that the monsters are...
For us, I'm talking about. I'm talking about for us. The people who have admitted that individually, we've each put in thousands of hours into the franchise.
Yeah.
And this is looking like old Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Like, in the way it controls.
I mean, it looks like it controls, like, world.
There's, like, certain... There's certain, like, jankiness to the animation... Where I know it's the style of the portable people, but it also feels like it might control that way too.
Like everything I've seen, it looks exactly like World. The only difference is, like, the fidelity isn't quite there because it's not the PlayStation.
Do you think that when we eat a potion with the standstill?
No.
Okay.
Like, I think it's gonna come with all the quality of life changes.
Okay.
And, like, the thing that gave it away is when they used the bow, and you could tell, like, the bow did not move like that in old gen.
Well, also it couldn't.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have dual analogs.
Yeah, like, when he dodged with the bow and aimed, I was like, okay.
Unless you were TJ when he had the fucking Super 3DS.
That was stupid.
And it's like, yeah, man, I could just use dual. It's like, fuck you, cheater.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I know. But the game looks awesome. It's coming out in March, exactly 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
March 23rd, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, and I'm pumped. Like, just as, because, like, we're coming up on October 1st. That's the end of Monster Hunter Iceborne, World Iceborne.
Yeah.
And we'll probably do that for, like, a month, and then, like, on to the next.
As soon as we can farm Fatalis.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And then what?
I think we're, like, in terms of multiplayer games, we just chilling.
Okay.
Like, unless we want to start playing COD, bro!
Oh.
Want to play that Warzone, dog?
I don't know, you on the PS5 or what? Come on.
I'm going to be on PS4, so.
Bro, I don't think we can play together, then. Like, sorry.
Fine, I'll play on PC.
Leaving that shit behind. No, you know what? This is the 5 month gap where, like, we sit down and, like, okay, time to finish all those single player games.
Yeah.
Time to finish Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. Oh. I want to hear you rage.
What?
I want to hear you rage.
You want to hear me just love the game?
I want to hear you just be like, this is the dumbest bullshit.
Or is it the best?
You know how I know you're going to say it's the dumbest bullshit?
Why?
Because I think it's awesome bullshit.
Oh, no!
I think it's fantastic bullshit. Like, it's total garbage, but it's awesome.
How are you going to do me like this?
And that's why I know that you're going to be like, this is the wrong type of bullshit.
Yeah, I like the simplicity of Kingdom Hearts 1. just, you know,
the princess, simpler days.
The princesses, just, it was a simple story. Princesses are in danger, go capture or
kill. Maleficent wanted to take their pure hearts to open the Kingdom Hearts.
Exactly. Fucking Riku. Mickey just had to step into that door.
Yo, ask me what the story is about in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Why? What's the story about?
I don't fucking remember. It's too complicated.
Oh, man.
I don't even remember what the Kingdom Hearts was.
They defined a Kingdom Heart?
Yeah, they found, like, I think in the game, they opened the Kingdom Hearts.
Okay.
You know, the heart moon?
Yeah,
With the keyhole?
Yeah. Actually, next year is supposed to be the 20th anniversary of Kingdom Hearts.
Disgusting.
And Nomura has stated, he's like, I hope you guys are excited. I've got something for you.
The complete package.
No, what if he's like Kingdom Hearts
4?
One.
No! No, I'm done. It's over.
What if he's like Kingdom Hearts O-N-E?
O-N-E, and it's, oh my god. It's the PlayStation O-N-E all over again. Yeah. God damn it.
And then he's like, remember that Kingdom Hearts you had the first time? Same game. What if I told you there's a secret mystery behind it the whole time?
Yeah, there's a 30-second ending scene. God fucking damn it. No! No. I'm done. Let it die. The franchise is over. Let it die.
No. No.
How does Disney allow this shit? Where's the Disney lawyers when you need them?
No. The Kingdom Hearts must go on.
Oh my god. So stupid.
Monster Hunter Rise, though. I can't, like, I'm so hyped. Like, and like,
I thought we were gonna have to wait years for another Monster Hunter, but really it's just like 6 months.
Well, to be fair, like, yeah, we are gonna have to wait years for like a quote unquote proper Monster Hunter, but this is exciting just because, like, it's gonna give us the things I think we want from World, like some of the more unique monsters.
Yeah, like Monster Hunter World was definitely like, we are basically rebooting the franchise to a new audience.
Yeah.
And we can't go wild. Yeah. Right? We can't have the praying mantis that makes fucking Macross. That's right. Right? Yeah. Remember when the final boss of that game was a praying mantis?
Yeah. And then he pulls. So that's why, isn't like, he pulls all that equipment, right?
Oh, everything is buried under the sand.
Yeah, isn't that the super advanced civilization who's gone now?
Oh,
the
lore we were talking about? It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, see? Like, why don't we know this?
Yeah, true. Yeah. But yeah, then he makes fucking praying mantis robot.
Yeah. Wow.
Right? You can't do that stuff. You can't have the giant floating takoyaki.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? You can't have subspecies Fatalis.
Yeah. You can't, yeah. The spider and crab monsters.
Oh, yeah. Hermitar and whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the insect one where, like, the male basically has sex with the female one?
Oh, yeah.
And then they fly. There's, yeah, and just the, fuck you up.
And then they combine. Yeah. And then he lifts up the female one. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I forget. Yeah. You can't have wild shit like that because it's just too much for new players to handle. And I really hope that they, in this game, they're like, okay, let's just do the wild shit.
Yeah, and it's not bringing back styles, but again, that wire bug is going to change the game.
Yeah. How does wire bug and insect glaive work?
Yeah, I know.
Like, do I put the wire bug in my insect glaive?
I don't know, but it all looks wild.
It looks cool. It all looks cool. And that's Nintendo. The rest of stuff about Nintendo, I really give a shit about.
Okay.
Did you have anything else before we get to the big news? Probably arguably the biggest news.
I did not, no.
All right, so we all know about the Microsoft.
Oh, yes.
And we know about the Xbox.
The Bone Zone.
Xbox, as we mentioned last week, has been on the back foot.
Ugh.
All right? They've been touted by gamers as saying, like, oh, my God, their cross-platform play is awesome. It's, like, the best for the people and blah, 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 all this stuff. And I said it on the podcast. They're only doing this because they're on the back foot.
Yes.
Right? If they were ahead, they'd be like, fuck you, exclusives galore, suck my dick. And they have decided to do that anyways. And in a very shocking move, Microsoft has bought ZeniMax.
They sure did.
They acquired ZeniMax. And for those of you who don't know, ZeniMax owns Bethesda, who owns Arkane Studio. They own id Software. They own, what was the other one? It's Tango Games. Like, they own a whole bunch of stuff. And if you don't know them by the developers, here are the friends. They own Dishonored. They own Wolfenstein. They own the Elder Scrolls.
Yes.
Fallout. Doom. This is a huge acquisition. And by huge, I don't mean just in terms of industry impact. I also mean in terms of cash money.
Mm.
Do you know how much they bought
ZeniMax
for?
It's got to be in the billions.
It is in the billions.
I don't know.
$7.5 billion.
Holy shit. Wow.
In comparison, Sony's operating profit from 2013 to 2019 is $8.8 billion.
Well, when you're Microsoft, you're Microsoft.
Like, so there's a fantastic Forbes article on it. It's written by Paul Tassi, and the headline is, Sony literally cannot match Microsoft's massive Bethesda deal, nor do they need to. He takes the stance of, like, this is huge, and this is kind of industry shaking, acquiring, but Sony is in such a good position with their first party titles, especially on the PS4, that they shouldn't really care, right? But the thing is if Microsoft starts playing hardball and they're like, hey man, Elder Scrolls 6, Xbox only, Xbox PC only, oh, Doom 3, Xbox PC only, right? That's huge. That's an insane move, right? This feels like a Hail Mary pass from Microsoft to just be like, it's almost like the Xbox division is kind of like the little brother, right? And they're like, man, Sony keeps bullying me. I don't know what to do. And then, like, big brother Microsoft comes and is like, don't worry, bro, I got your back. Here's, like, $8 billion. We bought you arguably one of the biggest developers in the gaming sphere today.
Yeah.
Right? That's insane.
Yeah.
I did not see this coming. And when I saw the news, I thought it was fake. I literally thought it was fake news.
Wow. It's crazy. Like, wow, I don't know what to say about that. Yeah. Like, on one hand, damn. On the other hand, damn.
Like, it's the same answer. Like, I don't know what the fuck to do.
Yeah, no, good for them, though. Like, if they want to be competitive, they want to be competitive. Like, go for it. Like, you gotta make these moves when you can.
It brings up the wider thing of just, like, I'm just, like, corporations have too much money.
Well, that's why you gotta spend it. I mean, good for them, though. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. It'll be an interesting thing to watch in the future, because I think The Elder Scrolls 6 is a long ways away still.
You think so?
Because when did they announce that? Like, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I say we got, like, another 2 or 3 more years before anything I say solid. It's next year. You say it's next year.
I say, oh, shit, we're Xbox only. We can revert all resources that we've used to make. You know,
how many copies of Speed Tree can,
like,
we
don't need to worry about we can now optimize for one system.
If it is actually, well, actually probably doesn't matter because both of those systems are PC architecture anyways.
I'm just saying, so, like, you know, like, teams always have to do some sort of compatibility issues. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. Like, it's like, fuck it, let's go this way.
That's wild.
Yeah, man, that's wild. They own Shinji Mikami.
Oh yeah. But that one girl left. Ghostwire or whatever, Ghostwire Games.
Yeah.
It's spooky.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's crazy, man. Like, I don't know what to say. We just gotta see what happens. We gotta see how hardball they want to play.
It's interesting though, because like, let's be real. This studio, for as much as, like, I guess these games thrive on consoles, like, this is definitely a PC studio.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the majority of their bigger ones, like, it is,
like, a PC when we're talking studio. Like, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Doom.
But there's still the fact that, like, I know a ton of people who are a fan of all these franchises, and they routinely buy a PlayStation every year.
No, for sure, for sure. I hear that. It's just, you know.
Yeah, like, when I play Elder Scrolls, the new one, like, I'm playing it on PC.
Yeah, like, when I think about, like, the extended life of these game audiences, it's not on the PlayStation or the Xbox. No, it's on the PC.
It's definitely on the PC.
Yeah.
But, man, I think the only thing I can say would be comparable to this is, like, the merger between Activision and Blizzard.
Yeah.
But they're not deciding console fates, right? They're just like, we want more Call of Duty.
Yeah.
We want more Diablo. That's about it.
I think the only, like, it'd be fun though if Microsoft just started buying them all.
and created a game monopoly. Uh-huh. And the government has to come in and break up the game
monopoly. Because, like, what if Microsoft's like, okay, Square, you're up next?
They bought Square Enix.
Because, like, that's someone that would sting, right?
Yeah, because of the history it has with PlayStation, right?
Yeah, like, that would hurt.
But would they let the Nihon Pride be sold to the monster American company?
You know what Asian people love?
Money.
Money.
Is that fucking, what's that comedian?
Oh, shit, yeah, the Chinese one?
You know what Chinese people love? Money! You know what Gung Hei Fat Choi means? It means I hope you get rich!
Oh, if you get rich, if I get rich, we'll both get rich.
Oh, that was that's a good stand-up. I love that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is huge news.
It is.
So
does this make you want to get an Xbox?
No.
Okay, well, because,
like, as much as I say that, like, right now I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just get the one, I'm probably eventually gonna get both.
Of course. Right?
And the majority of those games that I want to play, like a Fallout or whatever, I'm going to buy on the PC.
Yeah.
So.
On the PC. On a PC.
We'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I think the other big news was, Cyberpunk 2077 released their recommended PC specs.
Yeah.
And, like, the recommended graphics card for that game is a 1070.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, either they optimized the fucking shit out of that game, or they got low-ass res texture packs for people with poor computers.
So you know what that means?
What?
Better get that 380.
Pretty much. Pretty much. I gotta show you a meme later.
Okay.
About that.
But... I've been watching, like, because, like, I think NVIDIA just gave out their top-end cards to some top YouTube channels.
Yeah.
And they've been playing games in 8K.
Oh, my God.
And, like...
How much heat does that produce?
And, like, what it is cemented for me is that, like... Okay, yeah. Resolution doesn't matter, I guess.
It kind of doesn't.
And, like, because, like, the amount of... Even with their top-end card, when they're at 8K, the amount of just, like, caveats they have to take now, that's like, sorry, we can't do, like, 120 hertz.
No HDR lighting.
Yeah, we can't do, like, all the features anymore. And it's like, wow. Like, the amount of... like, their top-end card has this much strain just to run at 8K.
That's the thing, too. Like, I feel like resolution only matters at scale.
Yeah, right. And, like,
if I'm going to see, like, an IMAX documentary and they got 8K projectors, like, fuck yeah.
Absolutely.
Right? Because it's like a 200-foot screen. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But if I'm playing on my 24-inch monitor,
yeah,
I cannot tell the difference between 4K. And
that's the thing. They were all playing on 88-inch TVs.
So you get the primo experience.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, now I see why 8K matters.
Yo, but how much lag does it have, bro?
But yeah, no, so, like, and, like, it just made me think, like, you know what? Maybe Microsoft's whole, like, Xbox Series S, that's just all the top-end features at the lowest possible res, ain't such a bad move at all.
Like, no, it's not, right?
I mean, it remains to be seen what that console will look like in a few years when, like, things have moved on and maybe...
And if that digital future, like, people have latched onto.
Well, that, or if now people are using the extra power of the X... to give you better, like, graphical performance that's not related to resolution anymore. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I gotta show you now.
What are we talking about?
It's a anime graphics card comparisons, but in big boob anime titties you want to fuck.
Oh my god. That new 3090, baby.
Hey, baby. You can't beat experience, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, I'm not gonna lie, though. I like the blonde one better.
The fucking hoed out blonde?
Yeah. I'll still take that 2080 Ti. Don't worry.
I can't post these memes because they're definitely not safe for work. But, like, if you want to look it up, look up, like, NVIDIA 3000 series memes or 3000 series big boob anime. Because it's, like, a high school girl trying to entice some dude with her graphics card, but then her mom shows up with the Ti version.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, yo, that's Microsoft. So, you know, good luck to the players. I can't wait to see how this game shapes out.
Yeah.
You know?
That's fucking wild. It's fucking wild.
It's cool. is goo.
What'd you do?
What are you talking about?
What did you do this week?
This week? Good question. What did I do?
Do you not remember what you did?
Not really.
Because I feel like you did a bunch of stuff. Like, you went out and did stuff.
I did it. Like, I went out a lot, if that's the question you're asking.
All right. So, that's the thing. You went out enough that I was like, oh, man, COVID's over. COVID's done. What's it like going out that frequently in a COVID world? Like, what? Are you feeling like you're taking way too many precautions, like it's just annoying? Or
no, it's not that, it's just, you know, like mask everywhere, and to be honest, like enough of the world is still in cautionary mode that when you go places there's still nobody there.
That's fair.
So like it's not super bad. Like, to be fair, I'm just going to, like, it's a lot of restaurants and stuff. I went like hiking to a couple places. You know, shopping and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, to be honest, shopping is probably the one where it's like, maybe this is not the safest one. Because, like, I went to a couple of outlet malls, and there's lineups everywhere to get in stores. And that was the one where I felt like the most crowded area. So I kind of just went to stores with the least lineups and then just got out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, going out in the COVID situation world, I mean, the mask thing is whatever. Signing up whenever you get to a place to be like, here's my phone number, here's my name, call me if you guys have an outbreak. It's one extra step, but for the most part, it's the same old, like...
Just longer wait times.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it is. It's a lot of booking in advance. If you're the type of person who likes to plan...
Perfect.
Like, this, the world is perfect for you right now.
Mm.
Like, if you love to plan, you love to just put in, you know, calendar events and like
we're gonna be here at 5
in your partner's like digital calendar, then they're like, yeah, you love this shit. But if you're more of the spontaneous person who's like looking around to do stuff, like, unfortunately that is not what the world is anymore, like, which is a bummer, because I definitely love going, like, just taking a walk down wherever and then be like, oh, that place looks cool, let's walk in,
let's just go,
and it's like, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, sorry, we're booked for the day. And or like, I went to a ramen place, it's like, sorry, we're only limited to 100 bowls a day. And it,
what?
Yeah.
What one?
It was out in Aurora.
Oh, okay.
But I have to say, it was the best ramen I've ever had.
Get out of here.
I was like, yo.
Get out of here.
Whoa.
What's this place called?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up after. But I got, because I ordered a 10-piece chicken, a 10-piece.
Ramen Yutaka?
Yeah, that one.
All right, I'm clicking it.
That one's pretty baller. I ordered their, like, 10-piece chicken meal.
Safe.
And want then to I was go. Like, I want to get this ramen. It's far though. Like, you got, like, the only reason I was out there is because the hiking trail I went to was out there.
Oh my god, that is pretty far.
Like, it is not a, when you're in the area, it's you're not in. Trust me, you'll never be in that area
unless you're set to go.
Yeah. Like, you won't be there unless.
Damn, that's fucking far.
It is. So, it's. It's a journey. All
right.
But the staff there, you would appreciate.
Why?
They're just your style.
I this can go many ways. I don't know what I'm supposed to take it from here. Like,
think about the cool Japanese aesthetic of males.
Yeah.
And then think about the hot Japanese women.
Damn.
It's all encompassing.
Should I, like, tape it down?
You
like,
should.
Okay.
Come in with that duct tape.
No tight pants.
Yeah. You just need to be prepared.
All right. Okay.
Damn. But yeah, that was like my weekend was like, it's just a lot of that. Just to be fair, it was just me and my girlfriend. Like, it wasn't like us seeing a whole lot of people. It was just us doing different things. I tried to watch some anime, so I caught up on, or tried to catch up on Fire Force.
Mm-hmm.
Fire Force is moving at a steady clip.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, it's good.
Are you falling off?
It's not that I'm falling off. It's just, like, I want it to move more.
Like, I think you just got a taste of time stop and warp speed, and you're just like, give me more of that!
But the thing is, like, that's not even new, right? Like, that's the skill he used in last season.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, hurry up and answer these damn questions.
No.
Like, you know when you first watch Bleach and you're like, ooh, what's the stories behind all the captains and stuff? And you're like, you're just waiting 100 episodes before it all gets... Like, that's where Fire Force is right now.
Okay.
And you're kind of just like, I hope this isn't going forever.
This, I think we're just maybe too used to trigger style storytelling.
Yeah, where like everything is contained in one season and you're like, oh, there's the switch.
Oh, we told you this one thing? Here it is. Like, here's all the things. Let's go.
Yeah. That and like, because I'm also still watching God of High School, and God of High School just went off.
I had this conversation with my friend the other day.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how manhwa, which is Korean manga, and manga, like, he was saying how, like, manhwa always looks so nice. Characters are so detailed.
Yeah.
The story moves at such a, like, fast clip.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And at a certain point, I'm like, yeah, but they have no backgrounds.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is this the same in the anime, too? Like, would you say that the like, a traditional Japanese anime would have more detailed backgrounds than, like, this one that came from a Korean show? Or would you say it's about the same?
It's the same because the studio's Japanese.
Okay. Because, like, I was trying to think of, like, I only watched the one episode. I'm like, this looks pretty good, right? How are they just going to extend out this franchise if it's good, right? And it's like, maybe they just don't. Maybe they just say, fuck it.
I think the different, like I see what you're talking about, but I think the comparisons run deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, and, like, manga's typical Japanese, like, in terms of how Japanese does their creative, like, or how Japanese make their any sort of creative, or anything, to be honest, like,
it's all about time
and patience and like patience. And focus and like subtly revealing the details and like just like focusing on small little pieces here and there. And like that's how like the storytelling is in most anime. That's why things are so drawn out, because it's just like they have such a hyper focus on small things. And like we know this because there's so many memes of like side character comes A, suddenly they have a three episode arc on their flashback life.
They're very big on the longer the wait, the bigger the payoff.
Yeah, whereas like, and I'm watching God of High School, the Korean thing, like it's definitely like we know we have limited time to keep your attention,
and we know you what you want
to
see.
Yeah, so okay. We are going to bang this out and then call it a day, right? Like, and that is the whole like mentality behind like Korean dramas, right? Like they're always only 16 episodes, right? Like there is no part two. Like there is sometimes, but like for the most part it's just here we go, you're done. Like we've packed it all in. Like it's not One Piece is what I'm saying.
Oh, so it's bad, you're saying? Because One Piece is good.
And, like, I think both types of mediums or both styles definitely have their place. But right now, I'm not really feeling Fire Force in how it's adopted that traditional slow pacing. And, like, that could be sacrilegious to, like, the audience. Or like, but that's just how anime is. They're like, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just sick of it.
It's not what you're in the mood for right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. You know what's really moving at a steady clip right now? One Piece.
Fuck.
So, like, for real, they are moving. So, you know, just catch up on 990 chapters.
Thanks, man.
Maybe about 500 episodes. And
see you when I'm dead.
You just do it. Just go for it.
Yeah.
And that's about it? That's all you've been doing?
More or less. Like, I just been going through a couple side quests in Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Not really doing much there. Just, like, turning it on and trying to, like, complete some optional.
Did you fight any of the new tempered stuff in that one arena?
I fought the, who's the fire lion?
Teostra.
Yeah. They're hard.
Yeah, they have a lot of health.
Like what happened? Like why, what is that for?
It's a better version of the Zenogre quest.
You know, the tempered Zenogre. Is that what it is?
So I think, what is it, TJ? You get at least a minimum of three of the high level charm stones or whatever.
Now, is this a permanent quest?
No, it rotates monsters.
Thursday, and then Thursday, I think, Lunostras.
So it's Teostra right now.
Yeah.
It's just supposed to be up until the Vitalis event. I guess it's for...
Okay, because I saw it up there. I'm like, yeah, I'll fight this thing. So, yeah.
Like, I got a second Expert 4.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Expert 4, wow.
Super useful.
Yeah, I'll probably do that then after.
That's really the main grind. I did it a bunch and I was just like, okay, I gotta do something.
Yeah, like maybe I'll try some more then. Mm-hmm. I don't know. No, that's it. That's all I've been doing.
Okay. I've still been playing Final Fantasy 12. I just went into the Ultima Crystal, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And I got the Treaty Blade for Ash. because the gods are like, yeah, some fucking bitch betrayed us, and he's trying to give our Nethesite powers to man.
Mm.
He's a punk-ass bitch. So we're going to hire you to go get your power that your dad had so you could stop this traitorous asshole.
Mm.
And then the other guys, like Sid, and I forget the other guy, Venet, he's all just like, listen, bro.
Mm.
The Nethesite belongs in the power of man, baby.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. What good is a power if you can't harness it? What are you going to do? And right now they're like on the butt of the political war, pretty much. And yeah, playing that game now, I'm just like, oh, this is a good story. Everyone is just, they are just a party of convenience, right? They are not friends. They're not Tomodachi.
Mm.
They are just there. And it's just like, we have to get through this. And even though I fucking hate you, Vaughn, if I die, you get the straw. Because, you know, I'm the main character. I'm Balthier. I might have to do something heroic.
Of course. Balthier's the best part of the game.
Oh, he's so good.
He's Han Solo.
He's so good. He's got a hot girlfriend.
Fran?
Yeah. What if you had a race at 10 out of 10s?
I didn't know you were so much into the bunnies, but okay.
I feel conflicted. I told you last time, like, I forget what their race is called, but the girls in Final Fantasy XII, the bunny girls, it's like, they are just human enough.
Where you're okay?
To where I'm like, all right.
I'm down?
Yeah, I'm down. It was that, but they had, like, furry bodies, I'd be like, I'm out. I can't handle it. But it's just the ears.
I forget, does she have a tail?
Does she have a bun? I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe so.
It's literally just the ears?
I think it's just the ears.
That's weird.
I can look
at the brand. She has the nose, model. Though, right? Like, she has, like, a mousy nose, right? Or is that just the art style of the game? I can't remember.
I think it might have been... No, she does have kind of a mousy nose.
Okay.
Yeah, but Yeah, she doesn't have a tail. It's, like, it's literally just the ears.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm like, I can deal.
Okay.
I can deal.
Okay.
Right? But if it was, like, any more than that, I'd be like, I think I'm a furry. I don't fucking...
Well, you don't know.
But, yeah, it's a fantastic game. I forgot that mist abilities are fucking busted.
Mist ability?
You know, when you get your super meter?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and they are especially busted in this game because they are separate from your mana pool now.
Oh, you don't have to use the...
So in the original, what would happen is that on your way to 100% max MP, you would fill up 3 bars at 33% of each of them, right?
Yes.
And depending on how many you had, you could spend that portion of your magic to do a mist move or to summon an Esper. But in the Zodiac Age version, they're just a completely separate bar, right? So I could, at the end of... It always should have been.
Yeah.
But it's made boss battles a thing of, I got you down to 25%, missed. And then just go for as long as you can on a certain combo.
Yeah.
And then just end them, basically.
Yeah.
Also, like, the 4x speed thing has been a savior. I did the thing that I used to play Pokemon like, whereas I took my starter and I leveled him up way above where he's supposed to be, but I neglected everybody else.
Mm.
So my party was Vaughn, Balthier, and Pinello, and they're all like level 50.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ash, Fran, and Balthier are like level 18. And I'm like, huh, I really neglected you guys. So what I did is that I put the experience doubling shit on the lower character, and I would switch out one of them, and then I would run through a current, like a 40 area, and just catch them up.
Yeah.
And on 4x speed, it's like no time at all.
Yeah, of course.
It was perfect. And I'm finally getting into the swing where I have enough licenses for each character, where their classes are starting to get defined and useful.
Oh my god, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because you have to...
You have to buy the right to use a weapon.
You have to buy the right to wear a hat.
Oh my god.
Yo, you want to wear this ninja hat? You better pay the fucking government, bitch. Ivalis demands your license points.
I feel like that's what we're heading to with COVID.
You want to wear the green mask? You want to wear the mask with the shark teeth? Well, you got to pay me 20 license points.
You want to wear those Jordans? You got to pay the government.
That's the Jordan tax.
God.
So yeah, it's a fantastic game. I love it. Just all the quality of life stuff has been a fucking lifesaver. Yeah, it's good. It's grinding. Other than that, learning more stuff about Seth in Street Fighter V.
Yeah.
His V-Trigger 1, I believe I told you, is a combo extender.
Yeah.
So at the end of a special move, while it's active, I can press hard punch and hard kick at the same time, and he'll add an extra move.
Yeah.
So if I do an uppercut, he'll teleport above them and like corkscrew kick down. If I do my JoJo punches, I'll teleport behind them and then punch them in the gut.
Yeah.
One of them is off your spin kick. Yeah. So you have this one kick where you spin around like a ballerina and then you swipe the air. I did not know this, but it is a projectile nullifier, meaning that if that move hits a projectile, it cancels out the projectile, like you just net zero. But if you have V-Trigger 1 open, and say I'm on the one end of the screen, and you're Ryu chucking fireballs on the other end of the screen, if I kick the fireball, I can then cancel it into his other move, because it makes connection with the fireball. It doesn't matter what it makes connection with, as long as it makes connection.
So you could just close the gap.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
The extra move for the spin kick is that he appears behind the opponent character and does this like cartwheel kick that juggles.
Oh wow.
So I can full screen punish you for a fireball.
Wow.
It's awesome.
That sounds bullshit.
Oh, it's some bullshit.
How do you block that?
You just gotta anticipate the cross up.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good because, like, I'm still in bronze. Like, yeah. I'm still falling victim to, like, random Kens doing Jishoryukens all day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. And then he does. I'm like, fuck. But it's just so fun. Like, after people get frustrated, like, I've gotten pretty good with anti-airs. So, like, Seth's anti-air is a standing hard kick where he does, like, a backflip somersault and he kicks you out of the air.
Yeah.
And I've been pretty good at shutting people down. And when they start using fireball spam, that catches them off guard. And it's just like, oh, I bet you feel hopeless right now. You're just fucked. Like, you're like, what do I even do? Oh, it's so good. And then, what was the other one? His crouching hard punch is a sweep, but it's low profile, so it goes under fireballs. So I could either kick them or I can just duck them. I don't even have to block them or jump it. I can just take the safe option. It's very good. It's very, very good.
Okay, okay, okay.
Other than that, it's just been some practice. I've been labbing. Putting time in the lab, bro.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about training mode.
Oh. Okay.
Because, like, there are certain characters I just don't know what to do against. Like, Vega. Like, Vega has always been a tricky character. But I've learned that, like, most of his wall dial, if I meet him in the air, I can just stuff it.
Okay.
If I... he has no reversal moves. So basically, if I get a hard knockdown on him, I'm free to do whatever the fuck I want. Like, he has nothing that's like a wake-up Shoryuken.
Yeah.
So.
A wake-up Shoryuken.
Yeah.
Imagine you can do that in real life.
Be on the floor. And just be like, ha! Yeah. And then I've been utilizing his, like, move steal more.
Yeah.
And because I learned it breaks super armor.
Oh.
So there's certain characters that have like charge up moves. Like Abigail has a charge up move where if he charges it all the way, he gets super armor and it's a guard break. So the only real option you have is to jump it, or I can predict it and then stuff him into my stomach.
Yeah,
and steal his moves. But it's very fun. The drug continues to get stronger. Unfortunately, this week I just haven't had time due to school.
Ah, boohoo.
Yeah, and then the last thing I did was watch Infernal Affairs. The was it like 2000 earlier?
Yeah, it must be early
2000. Yeah. Chinese crime drama.
Yeah.
You may have heard of this name because what I learned is that it's what The Departed remade.
Yes.
And so I was watching this movie, right? And there are certain scenes in the movie where I'm like, wow. That's just a straight up like scene for scene ripoff. It like The Departed just ripped off that scene like shot for shot. Mm. What the fuck? What is this movie?
Mm.
And I posted on Twitter. I'm like, wow, man, they really just borrowed everything. And then I just got the people being like, dude, it's a remake. Dude, it's a remake. And I'm like, fuck! I didn't know. Because whenever I heard about... like, at this point in my life, I've forgotten all about the marketing of that movie. But I forgot... or whenever I heard about that movie, it was basically... hey, The Departed is inspired by Infernal Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I hear the word inspired by, I always hear these ideas were stolen from, right? Because it's like Star Wars and all the, Kurosawa movies,
yeah,
right? And stuff like that. But after hearing it on Twitter and doing some research, it turns out it was just a remake. So I was like, oh, okay. There are some real big differences in the two movies. One is that the Chinese movie is way grittier, right? And it's not just because of, like, the location and stuff, but there's a lot of options they choose in that movie, like how they shoot certain scenes, where scenes take place. It just feels like the crime portion feels dirtier, right? There's more of a disparity between, if you've seen The Departed, like Leonardo DiCaprio's character and Matt Damon's character, right? It is basically night and day of the bad guy is having the good life with the fun girlfriend in the nice apartment, where the good guy is having the bad life and blah, 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 blah. And also the tone of the movie is completely different because the ending is different. In true Asia movie fashion, nothing is fair. Everything sucks. There is no closure.
Yeah.
Right? Stuff like that. Whereas the American movie, if you've seen it, like, you know it. You know what happens at the end of that movie.
Yeah.
Right?
It's Mark Wahlberg's a baller.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg, he's got a clean.
Yeah.
He's got a clean. He's keeping it clean. I'm still, like, unsure on which one I like better. I definitely love, like... I love old Hong Kong movies. Like, just that style of older Hong Kong movies is, like, fantastic. Like, old Jet Li stuff.
Yeah.
Especially Kung Fu stuff. It just has, like, a certain texture.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Like, it feels different on my eyeballs.
Sure, sure.
And where the American one is very clean. It's very Hollywood. It's very stuff. And I can't tell if that's just, like, bias. Like, I've seen this style before. So it's not as cool to me, even though it might just be better. But both movies, it almost feels like The Departed for the American one is like The Departed Fess. Like Infernal Affairs Fess.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's this added portion,
yeah,
and we change up a little bit of stuff. So like here's some quality of life changes.
Yeah.
But both movies are fucking fantastic. Those are great, great movies.
Yeah, for sure.
And I really enjoyed my time with Infernal Affairs. The only thing is apparently Infernal Affairs is a trilogy.
Oh.
So there's an Infernal Affairs 2 and an Infernal Affairs 3.
Okay, and I'm sure neither live up to the first.
Oh, probably. I think that's why they only bought the rights to the first one.
Yeah.
Right? But, yeah, it's... That was a good movie. I like that movie a lot. Oh, and then I watched, was it The Social Distraction, Connection, whatever that thing is on Netflix? Dilemma? The Social Dilemma?
The Social Dilemma. I feel like I've heard of this.
Is it? Yeah, The Social Dilemma. It's the new documentary on Netflix talking with ex-Silicon Valley entrepreneurs.
Oh, yes. I saw a commercial for this.
Yeah, and like they have like the guy who invented the like button on Facebook.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And they're talking about basically how their creations have morphed into this monster that they did not anticipate or even wanted to happen.
That's usually what happens.
And if you follow the tech industry, there's nothing really new here that you're going to gather. Like,
yeah,
you already know all this stuff, like child depression rates are through the roof ever since. Like, there's not a direct correlation. Like, they haven't proved it yet. But, like, ever since social media was founded, like, child depression has gone up.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's very... But it is nice to hear from, like, the people who made that shit.
Mm.
Right? Like, the guy who invented Pinterest was talking about how he would come home and be on his phone, like, at home. Like, instead of hanging out with his kids, hanging with his wife. And he'd be on Pinterest. It was the thing he made was stealing time, like, and he didn't even like mentally realize it until later. It's pretty good. I think if you know someone who like is interested in that kind of stuff, or maybe doesn't know like the deep knowledge, like maybe me or you would, it's a good primer.
I think the people that you're describing,
yeah,
just wouldn't care.
Maybe.
Because I think the majority of people who are very much susceptible to this kind of stuff don't really care about where it's made or like.
Mm-hmm.
Like the social implications.
Oh, like the true, like the whales. Like, yeah. Like the yeah, of course. But I'm talking more about like maybe your mom is like, oh, these kids today spend so much time.
You've met my mom.
I don't know. My mom liked it.
My mom would be like, what is this?
Yeah, my mom liked it. She watched it. I don't know. But I don't know. It's cool. It's a nice, like, neatly presented thing.
Mm.
And it gives you, like, if you just want the bullet points of the deeper problem.
Yeah.
This is, like, an hour, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, cool.
It's good.
Neato.
And I think that's the end of it.
That's the end of it?
I think so. Did I do anything else?
I don't know.
No. No.
No?
No.
Y'all good in the hood?
Yeah, libraries are open again.
Whoa.
So I spent, like, 5 hours in the library today.
What's that like?
Socially distanced.
So like, do you have like what, 5 people in a library?
You walk into the library, they take down your name and number. Some of them do like
the temperature
test. And then to a table, you can only either have one person or the group that you came in with. The tables are separate, like they're even farther apart, or there's like a do not use sign on stuff. If you have any of the like the wall tables or whatever. Those are all spaced, like you can only use like one in every 3 tables.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just significantly less people.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And they're only open from like, I think it's like 11 to 7.
Okay.
So it's not even full hours.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're running programs either. That's the big thing too, is like there's no library programs happening, so it's really empty. Like it's if you ever went to that library near our house,
yeah,
and you're like, this place is fucking jammed and it's loud.
Yeah.
It feels like a library now.
Oh wow.
Because there's no programs happening. So
wow. Huh. Do they have to like check out or book a desk? Like how do they clean it after you're done or?
I didn't check out any books, so I don't know. I also like when I left the place I didn't have to tell anybody that I was leaving.
Okay.
It was just that like I left.
Because you know, like when you go to the restaurants, like they wipe shit tables. Everything down, right?
Yeah, I don't know how they do that. But...
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I don't know.
It feels like a library finally. So it's just a nice quiet place to study.
Damn. Damn. Okay. What? Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that means, you know what that means.
What? Starting the podcast at the library?
Oh, yeah.
They got the pro equipment. Like, we could rent out the audio recording booth.
I guess we could.
We can just be like, hey, welcome to 98.5 Nerd Radio.
Yeah, it could be fun. Okay, cool. And that was your week.
Yeah, that was my week.
Cool. That was a podcast.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
I think so.
Okay.
Yo, can you believe it's almost October?
Fuck.
Can you believe that?
Actually, I want everything until April to go very fast.
Okay, now it won't.
Because then I'm going to be done school.
You know, now it won't.
Oh, because I jinxed it?
Yeah. Because now, like, the minute the cold weather comes in, it's going to be here forever.
True. Because
now it's going to be cold, and now we can't go out to do anything.
I'm going
to
go tobogganing. Fuck you guys.
What are you talking about? Where are you going to go tobogganing?
I'm
going
to go tobogganing.
Socially distanced tobogganing?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, right.
Tobogganing is always socially distanced, because I'm going hella fast.
Nah.
Because nobody can keep up with my speed.
But what happens when we go up the hill? Y'all in that line.
What line?
Line up the hill.
Have you not been tobogganing? Where are you going? Are you talking about going to like Blue Mountain? Like,
hell yeah!
No, I'm talking about I'm going to the hill at the park.
Oh my god.
And I'm going to make a ramp and then ice it over, and then all the parents are going to get mad at me again because their kids are going off my ramp.
Well?
And they can't destroy it because it's ice.
That makes me sad. I want to go skiing and snowboarding, but you can't.
I just want to get my GT, baby.
No.
Hell, can I take my GT to Blue Mountain?
You can. No. How would you take it up the hill?
I'd like hang it off my feet. Like I put it on the ski lift. And, like,
you have that much foot strength?
There's not. The GTs aren't heavy.
How are you going to get off?
That? Yeah. I'm gonna break my ankles.
I was gonna say, like,
well, I could probably hold. Could I hold the GT in front of me?
No, with the bar that comes down.
Well, I could put, like, you know how there's the two sleds, and then the seat has like an in gap. Like, I can just like seat belt it vertically.
I mean, if you want to, I don't think so. I don't think it's an option.
Because I think I've forgotten all my skills about snowboarding.
And go skiing.
I've never been skiing.
Well, then, listen. It's first time for everything.
God damn it.
First time for everything. Pro tip, don't use the poles.
Don't use the poles?
Yeah, don't use the poles.
What are they for, then?
The ski poles?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, they say balance and control, but you don't need them.
I feel like this is a bait. I feel like this is a bait. I'm getting baited.
Who's been skiing and who hasn't here?
Yeah, but it's also you.
What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say you're untrustworthy.
How can you say that?
Years of experience.
Exactly. You've known me how long?
8 years.
Of course
you
trust
me.
Yeah, of course you trust what I say.
No, it's the opposite. It's the opposite.
I don't know. I think the audience here would agree with me that I'm the trustworthy one.
Disgusting. All right. I'm not having this. I'm not having this argument.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.